Good morning and welcome to Neocotti View. I'm Peter Duman. Coming up in just a few weeks' time is one of the fun events in the North Tillamook County area, and for that matter, South Clatsop and South Tillamook and North Clatsop, because you should go to this thing from nowhere, no matter where you are. This thing is the 18th Annual Trash Art Show. And joining us this morning is the Executive Director of Cardam, putting on the show, Karen Reddick-Yurka, and board member, and I guess we should call you the organizer of the art part of Trash Art, Susan Walsh. Welcome to you both.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
First of all, Karen, for those not familiar with Cardam, give us the illustrious history.
Cardam is just about ready to celebrate its 20th year in business. We are located right between Manzanita and Nehalem, just outside the Nehalem Bay State Park. And Cardam is the premier resource for recycling and reuse on the Oregon coast, essentially. We serve the North Tillamook and South Clatsop County communities. And we accept 40 different items for recycling. And we also have a thrift store called The Refindery that is a wonder store of incredible used items that are donated by our community. So it all works together to divert materials out of the landfill, which is what our mission is.
I've said this before on this program, but and I don't know if you object to the idea of the dump as a reference, but I say to people who are visiting, hey, I'm going to take you to the dump, and you're not going to believe this.
It doesn't bother me a bit. In fact, we have the old sign, one of the original signs that was hanging out on the street that says The Dump.
Okay.
And it's actually hanging in the office right now. So it's perfectly fine. I love it. I love working at The Dump.
Well, I want to get back to talking about The Dump in a bit, but I also want to talk about Trash Art. And Trash Art, how long has that been going on?
This will be our 18th year of producing a Trash Art show.
And what is trash art?
Well, trash art is art that is made with recyclable, reusable materials. That's as we designed the original Trash Art Show, it was an opportunity for the creatives in our community to come up to the dump and mine for materials and make creative art out of it. And then we had the first annual Trash Art Show was this gala exhibit of very wild and crazy and wonderful trash art that people made strictly from recycled materials.
How many pieces typically do we get a chance to see?
Oh boy, it depends, but generally speaking, over the course of the 18 years, I'd say they're probably 50, 70 different pieces in the show. Each artist is invited to bring three pieces, and all work that comes that fits the criteria, meaning made from recyclable materials, is accepted into the show. So in that sense, it's not there's no jury selection. So 50 to 70 pieces represents maybe 30 to 40 different artists. And I'm just guessing right now. It could be more, it could be a little bit less, but it's pretty well populated with art.
Over the years, have you seen a trend in what materials are used or how the materials have expressed themselves?
I would have to say over the years, I've seen the materials become more refined. In the early days, the materials were very funky, so to speak. And not that they weren't well put together, but there was more rusty material, there was more weathered material. And over the years I've seen that the artists, and this happens in the art world as well, it's gotten more a little more sophisticated, and the work that comes in is a little more polished than it used to be.
At the same time, though, the rust and the lack of polish, sometimes I see a piece, and it doesn't have to be for trash art, but and it speaks to you, and especially if you know that the history of the material, boy, it really, that can be pretty powerful.
I agree. I'm of the old school of mining around and finding, you know, a rusty piece of wire and turning it into an animal or a figure, and people do that. But I got to say, as it has evolved, there's been a polishing effect on the work.
Have you offered up pieces for the shows in the past?
Oh, yes, yeah, definitely.
What are some of the things you've done?
Oh, I've done critters from... one of my favorite pieces that I ever did was called Crow K, and it was a crow figure that was made from a croquet kit, you know, the mallets and the stakes and the balls. There was one up at Cardam, you know, somebody had cast off this croquet kit, and so I turned it into a crow, and it turned out really great, really great.
Our guest this morning on the Iconi View is the Executive Director of Cardam, Karen Reddick-Yurka, and Board Member and Organizer of the Trash Art Upcoming, Susan Walsh. And, you know, Karen, I just noticed that I asked you earlier about using the word dump, and I should have looked at your T-shirt because it says Dump Diva on it, and had I seen that, I wouldn't have had to apologize in advance for using the word dump.
No worries. You know, I was listening to Susan talk about the art. I wish that your listeners could just be sitting here with us right now, because my office is full of art from previous trash art shows.
That's right.
And it's colorful. It's all different materials. As Susan said, some are very polished, some are very fine, others are very rustic. Mm-hmm. There is something for everyone at this show, and I never cease to be amazed at the creativity that comes from these cast-off materials. You know, it's just amazing what inspires someone to create art. And I'm even more amazed that they're willing to share it with us at this show. It's incredible.
And we are here at Cardam. So if you hear a vehicle coming by.
Oh,
and just
you might hear a backhoe beeping.
Right. That's okay. That's what it's all about. Well, Karen, put this in the context of Cardam. How does an art show, even a trash art show, fit into... Let's say, I don't want to be heavy-handed about it, but the larger mission of what Cardam is all about.
It fits hand in glove. What we try to do is encourage people to look at cast-off materials in a new light and either see that there's value in the material itself that could be reused as it is, or there's value in the material that could be shredded and mixed up with other similar materials and turned back into another product. Whether it's metal or plastic or glass. But the other thing is that we really try to inspire creative reuse. And so this trash art show is one of the ways that people can look at cast-off materials in a whole new light and hopefully take home some inspiration from the show, even if you're not an artist, but just to turn something upside down and look at it in a different way. And see that maybe there's an extended life for whatever that thing is. I think it's the best thing that we do to help promote reuse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What's some of the most unusual thing you've seen come through for trash art?
Well, actually, I think a piece that was now on our poster, the picture of that piece last year came in through trash art, and it was absolutely stunning. It's about 6 feet long and about, I'd say, 2 feet deep. It's a salmon. It's a fish, a big salmon. It is made entirely out of cast-off, and I think a lot of this material came off the beach, plastics and old floats and... what is it?
Oh, there's some styrofoam pieces in
yeah.
there, and a baby doll head.
Yeah, yeah.
There's all kinds
just
of stuff.
Amazing, but it reads like a salmon, and it was absolutely the blockbuster at the show last year. It was hanging from the ceiling, and people just came in and were wow, and that piece was memorable.
Well, talk us through I don't know if we want to call it a curation process. Can anybody walk through the door and present something to you? And do you make decisions on this will work, this might not
work? Well, you know, we do not curate. The only criteria we have is that the work has to be made from recycled material or reused material. In some years, we've had a whole elementary school, grade school group of kids bring in lots and lots of pieces, and we incorporated those into the show, and we'll put anything into the show that comes and fits the criteria of recycled materials.
And I imagine you have to make considerations about how it's going to be displayed, too. It's at NCRD, and yep. That's got to be a job and a half.
Well, you know, NCRD, the people who are masters at displaying or mounting the show are Deb and Carl Vandervoort, and they will be, again, this year putting up the show. And they are extremely gifted in their ability to put work together that works and mount a whole show that's cohesive. Now, in the early days, we used to have the show up here at Cardam, and we would use all sorts of stuff in the yard to help in the display of the show. And it was a lot more serendipitous than the show at the NCRD is. The show at the NCRD is just going to be very well presented.
The gallery at NCRD is, it's got incredible light, mm-hmm. and it's a wide open space. And then we also use part of the kitchen for the show, and it also has incredible light and great mirrors. So mm-hmm. it's a really wonderful display location, and we're so happy that NCRD's opened their doors to us again to have the show. This will be the second year there, mm-hmm. and it's an amazing, amazing gallery space.
It's a great space.
Really happy to have it.
And we're going to give dates again in the future at the end of this program, but it is coming up May 13th through the 15th at NCRD's Gallery in Nehalem. And the art intake day, where you bring your art to the show, is May 11th from 2 until 6 p.m. Neocony View here at Coast Community Radio. And our guests this morning, Karen Reddick-Yurka and Susan Walsh. Karen, what's the state of recycling these days? You hear lots of stories, you know, depending on what item you're talking about, that the market is flooded with this. Class isn't working. You know, the price of petroleum has gone down. That's affected things. Can you give us the overview about how the recycling biz is doing?
I can. I'd be happy to. We're a little provincial here. I feel like I'm a little bit provincial. We live in a little corner of the world, you know, off next to the ocean. So I am not as familiar with the wide world of recycling. But generally speaking, the recycling markets are depressed right now, in part due to the price of oil, which you would think is a great thing. We can ship stuff off for less money, but plastic is made out of oil. And when the prices are low, plastic manufacturers prefer to use virgin oil to make their plastics from. So the recycled plastics have less value. And for that reason, we're stockpiling plastics right now, hoping that the markets will turn around and the prices will go up for them. Because the recycling sales of our recycled commodities really help support our mission. And without them, we don't get to stay in business for very long. So we're trying to be very smart business people about how we market our commodities. Some things never change much. Newspaper and cardboard are always good. The prices go up and down a little bit, but they don't fluctuate the way the plastic prices do. And some metal commodities are very good sellers. The good news about how we process here at Cardam is that we're very careful to keep the right materials in the right location so that when we do send something off for recycling, it's 100% what we say it is. In other words, there's not a lot of bad plastic or unrecyclable plastic in with the good stuff. And when we send our newspaper, there's not going to be a lot of, metal or weird stuff that doesn't belong in the newspaper. We do a really good job of decontaminating. And so we're always able to find a market for our materials.
So how does that work then? I mean, I bring in my my plastic here. And by the way, you folks are really great when I'm out there, you know, telling me, no, that's a number six. You can't put it in the number one. It all gets sorted out, and there it is. And then what happens to it, and how do you arrange to have it go off to that magic place where good things happen to it?
That's a really good question. What we do is we collect the different grades. We'll just talk about plastics, the different grades of plastic. So the number ones, number twos, number fours, number fives. And we collect them in big bags until we have enough to make a bale. And a bale is, 6x3x6 or something like that. They're very heavy. They weigh up to 600 pounds. And so basically, we'll collect enough materials, we'll dump it all down a chute, and it goes into the baler where it's crushed and crushed as much as we can possibly crush it, and it's wrapped with wire. And then those bales go into storage. And as soon as we have a trailer full of those bales, then we send them off to Portland, and they get sold through a broker. So we have a broker that works very diligently to find the best market for us. And that's where they go. And we do the same with glass. It doesn't go into the baler, but we do crush all of our glass, and it gets sent off to a smelter in Portland. And our paper goes a variety of places. It either goes directly to a mill in Newburgh or Springfield or Longview, or it goes... the office-type paper goes to our broker as well. So some goes directly to a mill, but others, most of it goes through a broker.
I guess the message with the depressed market for recyclable plastics, the message is not don't recycle it because it's not going to go anywhere anyway, right? That's not what you want to get across.
No, not at all. It just means we have to work harder to find value in the materials. So we're always looking for other things that we can recycle that might be worth a little bit more than plastic right now. But definitely keep recycling it. It will eventually get recycled. Oil prices will change. We may run out of oil someday, and then we'll be using all recycled plastic at some point. So much better to have it in a stockpile waiting to be recycled than floating in the ocean or in the landfill.
Our guests this morning on the Econi View, Karen Reddick-Yurka and Susan Walsh. We are talking trash art and cardam here at Coates Community Radio. Back to trash art for a moment. As an artist yourself, Susan, some of these materials, you must look at some of this and think, well, gee, how did they think of that, or where did that inspiration come from? What's the relationship between material, and this is a totally open-ended question, especially to an artist, but the relationship between material and how you see, as an artist, the end point for that material?
Well, it really is a process. I mean, what you have to, you really have to trust, as an artist, one, I have to trust my intuition or my gut feeling about when I'm looking at a material, I'm looking at a piece of wood, say, for example, that's, you know, got some paint on it and maybe, you know, some marks on it. And I go, oh, that's interesting. And then you just follow your nose and you allow the material to speak to you, and you always keep open to different combinations of materials, too. It's like, this piece of metal here would look great over here. Oh, I could, you know, that. And so it becomes almost like a writing a novel. You just take one character, you take one material, and you see if you can combine or how you might be able to combine it with another. Or you work strictly with the same material all the way through in a repetitive way. But I think as an artist, you need to always be open to the surprise in your own process. So you're going down this road. You think you can see where it's going, and all of a sudden your eye gets cast over here and is looking at this like, oh, where did that come from? Well, let's see if we can incorporate that, which may change the course of the piece. So that in a nutshell is the process of art making.
So you've seen or perhaps have been at the receiving end of things. I didn't think you could do that with plastic or metal.
Oh yeah. I mean, those are the fun parts. The fun parts where it's like this revelation of, oh, this actually fits right in here. You know, this there's a hole here, and there's a stick here, and my gosh, they fit, and it looks like something else entirely. So, yeah, that's the fun part.
And Karen, just looking ahead, I hope Trash Art goes well into the future, and we get to do this for another 18 years, 1800 years.
Yeah.
What about Cardam? What's the future hold for Cardam? Any big plans or little plans or 5-year plans?
Oh my gosh, we are working right now on a new strategic plan for the next 3 to 4 to 5 years. We've got so many ideas, we're having trouble corralling them all into a time frame. There's nothing really that I can speak about at this moment because we're still working on those strategies, but we're always looking at ways that we can do a better job communicating. We're looking at ways that we can do a better job serving our customers. I can tell you that we're planning to do some a little bit of changes to our site this spring. Nothing too terrible, but we're going to reorganize our recycling line. So all of you avid recyclers out there, be prepared to spend a little extra time one day in the next month or so learning how we've realigned everything. But we're looking for ways to make it even easier to do the recycling that we do now. So that will be coming in the spring. And then the most exciting thing that I'm looking forward to is in the fall when we do our trash and show. And maybe we can come back and talk to you again about that.
Please.
In the fall. But that's another very fun, creative outlet for demonstrating reuse. Looking forward to that.
But if you look down the road, you know, you just mentioned a little earlier oil. You've got to factor in, make a good guess as to what the price of all sorts of commodities are over the next 2 years. And even for that matter, what the commodities are. There may be materials out there that don't exist or not really recyclable right now, but might be in the future or vice versa.
We are paying attention. We certainly are. And we're looking at ways to, you know, add new things that we recycle, but we want to make sure that we're very careful. When we say we're going to collect something, we want to be able to collect it every time people come. And so we don't want to be saying next week, oh, we can't take that because the price is down. Mm-hmm. Our mission is to reuse and recycle as much as we possibly can. So we don't want to make it difficult. You know, we have customers that come from Astoria, and they'll save up a year's worth of stuff to bring. And the worst thing we can do is have them save that for a year, come here, and then find that we don't take it anymore. So we're trying very hard to continue to take items, even if they cost us money, because that's our mission. And because we count on our supporters to help by buying things in our refinery, in our thrift store, and by giving us donations and by supporting our trash art shows and things like that. So it's, you know, we work together and we work in as many different ways as we can to keep recycling as much as we can.
What about electronics? These little devices that we all carry around with, they're full of nasty stuff and I suppose valuable stuff.
They're
both
full of incredibly valuable stuff, and we're very fortunate to live in the state of Oregon. Oregon has a e-cycles program in place that requires the manufacturers of electronic materials to fund the responsible collection and recycling of those materials. So we are an e-cycles collection point, and people can drop off pretty much anything that's electronic. We'll recycle it for free, and that whole program is funded by this consortium. So computers, the cell phones. I was just about to say PDA, but nobody uses those anymore.
They've already been recycled.
You know, the microphones that we're speaking into, all of these things have elements that are valuable. and we can collect them. We'll get them recycled responsibly and for free. So it's a great program.
Mm-hmm. Susan, have you ever wandered through Cardam and come across something and said, no, that's not going into the trash, that's not going into somebody's garden, I'm taking that because I know what I'm going to do with that?
Oh, you bet. A lot. In fact, my whole house is probably 50% items that I furnish, 50% items that I've gotten from Cardam. And I think the most stunning one is that we got a spiral staircase. When we moved into our house, we had this loft, and there was a ladder going up into the loft, and it was not working. And so I came up to Cardam, and in those days you could say, keep your eye out for... And so I said, well, keep your eye out for a spiral staircase. And within, I'd say, 2 months, we had a spiral staircase that works just perfectly. So
my reaction to that is, why would somebody want to give up a spiral staircase?
Well, I think it was a house that was going to be torn down or something like that. And it was one of those things that it had, there was a pole and then the stairs slid down. Each unit was one stair, and you would slide it down the pole and do it that way. So it could be completely disassembled. And that's how we got it. And when we got it, we weren't sure it was going to fit. You know, we weren't sure it was going to be the right height. It was exactly the right height when we installed it. So, yeah, I often shop at the Refinery and get great stuff.
At great prices, too. This isn't a commercial or anything. But
I'm telling you.
So I just have to make one quick comment about that. Susan's experience with the spiral staircase is a perfect example of what we call Cardama. And that is where you put your wish out to the universe, mm-hmm. and it appears at Cardam. And it happens over and over and over again. So I would say we can't keep track of every request that mm-hmm. people have, but if you're interested in something in particular, stop by our donations center, ask one of the staff there to keep an eye out for you, and you'd be surprised. Mm-hmm. It will probably turn up again within a very short time period.
Yes. Cardama happens.
Cardama happens.
Cardama happens.
Well, more immediately, what's happening is the 18th Annual Trash Art Show. It is May 13 through 15 at NCRD in Nehalem. And there is a artist reception on Friday the 13th, from 5 until 8 o'clock. It's open on the 14th and 15th. And Susan, will you be there to take in the art on May 11?
I definitely will be. I wouldn't miss it. That's one of my favorite parts of this job is intake, having people come in. And because that's when you get the history of the pieces. You hear the artist say, here's what I did. This is what I found. And it is just always a pleasure to be the first to see the new art that's coming in. So I will definitely be there.
And if you want more information about any and all of this, cardam.org. Our guest this morning on A Neocony View is the Executive Director of Cardam, Karen Reddick-Yorka, and board member and the organizer of Trash Art, coming up May 13 through 15, Susan Walsh. This is so much fun every year. Thank you for sharing it with all of us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Thanks for inviting us.
And we will see you next month on Neocony View.